WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is photographer Abigail Heyman. Her new collection of photographs is a book titled Dreams and Schemes, Love and Marriage in Modern Times. All the photographs were taken at weddings, hundreds of them, from two-minute quickies at City Hall to lavish parties at large family homes. At only two of these ceremonies was she the official wedding photographer. I asked her then what was her role at these weddings and what was she looking for?
I've had a very peculiar role at weddings. I sort of go in and I generally try to bring a gift and sort of announce myself as part guest, but I've got cameras and I'm part photographer. But I'm not a photographer responsive to what they're going to need. I always hope I'm going to do photographs that the family will enjoy, but I'm really looking at it more as an outside journalist, and yet I'm not an outside fly on the wall. I'm also a participant at the wedding. It's a very peculiar relationship, and because there is no standard for that or there is no tradition for that, people don't know quite what to do with me.
I know that there's some weddings where you've been to where you've been there as a friend or as a journalist, and at the same time there's also an official photographer doing the wedding. Can you compare what you're doing on those days with what the official photographer is doing who's working the room at the same time?
The official wedding photographer, it's a very difficult job, is really looking for what the bride and groom or the bride and groom's families are going to be wanting to look at for 50 years and the way and the images that they're going to want to remember of this day. I'm looking for emotional responses to the event that often the family isn't even aware of. You know, the mother may be very unhappy because the daughter is leaving her home, even though she loves the new groom. But she's not particularly aware that that's as prominent as it is to me.
What's your criteria for going to weddings that you're not invited to as a friend? Because I know you've been to weddings just as a photojournalist.
Lots of different things can interest me, and they're very different. It can be the visual scene. In photographing Dreams and Schemes, I photographed in a lot of different subcultures, not because I felt the weddings were really different, but because I think it gave me different visual clues to look at and enjoy in addition to what was going on in the wedding itself. There would be strange little things going on in families. I remember picking one article out of the New York Times of a couple I wanted to photograph who were getting married because they both had only children of exactly the same age. And I thought, if you'd been an only child for 9 years in your life, wouldn't it be incredible to suddenly have a sibling of the same age? So there would be little family stories that would interest me that I would hear one way or another.
But now, you're photographing from a really different perspective, but people don't know whether you're the official paid photographer or friends of the families or what. So what do they do when they see you coming with the camera?
Well, very often they ask me what I'm doing, and I explain it as best I can. It's obvious that I'm not the wedding photographer because I don't have the same kind of equipment, and people seem to recognize that.
Have you ever told someone to smile for the camera?
I don't think I ever have, but...
Why not? Because we all seem to really prize photographs with smiles on them.
Well, I think I have. Sometimes people will ask me, would you take a picture of me with Aunt Bessie and so forth? And then I will, and then conventionally I'll ask them to smile. More often I'll ask them to look at me. We expect that as a sign of happiness, and I think most people think they want to remember the event and all the people as being happy. In fact, I don't believe that's true. For example, there are goodbyes that are very sad and deeply felt, and I think people are glad to have those photographs afterwards. But they don't expect to be taken in an unhappy pose. It's just one of our really deep expectations about photographs.
You probably end up talking to the bride and groom at the wedding while you're photographing them. Do they ever confess doubts to you about the marriage?
Yes, a lot. But I don't talk to them so much at the wedding when other people are around and they're usually pretty busy. But very often I come a few hours before the wedding and everybody is off fixing things up and planning. And the bride and groom are very often left alone with no one to talk to. And that's a time when they often talk about their fears.
Is this something you want to hear if a groom confesses that, I don't know if I'm really doing the right thing?
Well, your question is interesting, Terry, because you say if a groom confesses as though he had told this big secret. And I know from being married and from having been through a wedding myself and from being now to a few hundred weddings that everybody has fears. They may be that the wedding doesn't work out. They may not, more often they're not conscious of that, that the marriage won't work out. They're, and more often what people are afraid of is not whether it'll work out or not, but things are going to change. And they don't know how they're going to change. Nobody really knows.
And it's this kind of emotion that you want to register in your photographs.
Yes, exactly. These are the kind of the hidden parts of a wedding. And partly I've concentrated on them because they are so hidden and most of us are terribly unaware. Most people go to a wedding and think of it as a rather superficial event, whereas really lives are changing so dramatically in that symbolic way.
You've been through two weddings yourself, and there are photos of each.
That's right.
In your new book. Now, one of them is from 1965. You're shown with shoulder length hair and a very neatly done page boy. You're wearing a veil with a big white bow on top, a very conservatively cut white wedding gown with lace on the sleeves. You're formally posed in much the same way that a graduation picture is formally posed, and you're not smiling. We'll get to your other wedding picture in a moment, but what do you think about when you see that picture?
Well, I think for me, I feel rather sad because I didn't feel very in touch with that wedding. In the sense, as I wrote in the book, I didn't really want to get married at that time, but it was the appropriate thing to do. It was what my parents expected of me. It filled certain needs in my life, though I don't think at that point I was thinking about what the rest of my life would be like. And I really didn't know what being married meant in a very naive way. So there's a certain sadness of having been not quite there, of having not really understood what it was all about.
There's also a 1978 photo of your second wedding. And in this one, your hair is all frizzed out and you have a very playful smile on. I can't tell what you're wearing because it's obscured by, I think, some flowers on the table.
Yes.
But it looks like you might be wearing a tank top. Maybe it's a formal gown, but I couldn't really tell.
I think it was a tank top, in fact.
Very different than the formal pose of the 1965 wedding. What do you think about when you see that photo?
Well, it was a very different kind of wedding. I knew a lot more about what marriage meant, and I knew my husband much better. So the sense of tension was less because of that. I had more of an awareness of what was happening.
What did you want from the wedding pictures of each of these two weddings?
I wanted to remember, I guess, what the day was like. And I think that's true of both wedding pictures. I think they both really reflect what I was feeling. And I think those wedding pictures are very important. It's important for me to have a memory of what those days felt like. And I think it's very interesting that the formal posed photograph also tells me what that day looked like and what it felt like.
As a person who's been through one marriage and is in a second marriage, you don't necessarily believe in the absolute permanence of marriage. What is it about weddings and marriages that still keeps the wedding ceremony so moving for you?
I think they're incredibly interesting. I think they, in a sense, bring out the best in everyone. So I really have enjoyed people and I've enjoyed weddings. I enjoy the champagne and I enjoy the dancing. But mostly I think I see an incredible emotional response to family life there. That's not just for the bride and groom. It's for the parents. It's often many of the weddings I was photographing, there were children of the bride or children of the groom. It's multi-generational. There are friends who are losing their best friend. All kinds of things are changing for many people. It's not just for the bride and groom.
Abigail Heyman, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Abigail Heyman's new book of photographs is called Dreams and Schemes, Love and Marriage in Modern Times. She spoke with us from New York.